This is the User Adoption Podcast with your host, Henrik De Geer.
Who are you and what do you do?
Hi, Henrik. My name is Dave Klee. I manage a team on the technology and engineering side of building systems for a large broadcaster. So our team focuses on a lot of digital asset management, media asset management, the systems that really enable content to move throughout the organization and get content where it needs to go at the right time. But we also work very hard on the workflows that connect all those systems together and making sure that everything is integrated in a way that really makes sense for people's day-to-day jobs. So I kind of think about what we do as about less about just cataloging content that lives in a static place and more about building an overall supply chain that takes content in at one side, processes it, sends it through a series of steps, and adds value to it, and then delivers it where it needs to go on the other side. I kind of think of content broadly as something that's always in motion and always getting delivered where it needs to go, and we sort of approach the technology of building content management systems in that way.
David, how are you involved with user adoption?
We're involved in user adoption in several ways, but really we build systems that we hope users use. We build systems that hope will help solve problems for people and help get content where it needs to go on a regular basis. We're on the technology side of the business, but we like to think of ourselves as very integrated with the day-to-day operations and understanding what people need to do and how processes need to evolve over a long period of time. Actually, to be totally honest with you, I'm not sure how I feel about the phrase user adoption. I know you're doing the whole series on it and everything, but to me, user adoption kind of implies that users need to adopt something, that users need to change their ways in order to adopt a technology or process that's being put on them. And to be really honest, I kind of think of it backwards. I kind of think of it in a way that in an ideal world, we're working with users to figure out what technologies and processes need to be to help them to meet their needs and to make their jobs and their day-to-day really work better. So when I really think of it, I think of it that way, that when you think about the users first, when you think about what they need, you think about solving particular problems, and then you implement that effectively, that the user adoption piece really takes care of itself. I think of it that people should want to adopt the systems and the processes that you're working with them on because you're giving them something better. You're giving them a better way of working. And if you're not, then I think you need to take a hard look at what you're doing and make sure it really makes sense and it's really the right thing to do. And if it is, I think you really need to find champions and people within an organization that can help evangelize and make sure that the processes really make sense and are really going to work for people and work for those users on a day-to-day basis.
David, what are the biggest challenges and successes with user adoption?
Well, change is hard no matter which way you look at it. I think even if you work in a very user-driven way, if you really try to build processes and technologies that are going to help users, sometimes you still run into challenges, you still run into changes that are very complex and very difficult to navigate. So managing change and helping people be comfortable with change, I think, is certainly a challenge of user adoption. But I think of it more broadly that really the biggest challenge I see with driving the ability for users to engage and work in new ways and get into new technologies is this idea of synthesis, that it falls to someone or a group of people to really synthesize a lot of different needs, a lot of different pieces of feedback from a lot of different people to try to make a new process, a new technology that's something that's going to work for a broader group of people. It's difficult that you can't really build customizations for every person. You know, that's not really something that scales no matter how good you are on the technology side. You need to build some commonality. You need to build systems that are common in some way because you need to be able to consistently build them and change them and troubleshoot them and work with people to support them long term. So if every system is unique and different, that's really difficult to do. You have to generally find ways to synthesize all these different needs and kind of distill them down into common ways of working, common problems, common approaches that you can sustainably implement. Because if you can do that, then yeah, I think you have a real shot at building something that is going to be sustainable long term and something that people are happy with and something that will work. Because at the end of the day, if it's so complex you can't make it work, if it's so customized for each individual potential user and use case that it's prone to failure or problematic to maintain, then nobody's going to be happy with it. So I think there's always that balance there between figuring out what is unique about particular use cases and what can be distilled into a more common or broad or general use case. And that challenge of synthesis, I think, is really front and foremost when you think about what users need and what you need to be building. And then you got to throw in there too the idea that you need to synthesize in new ideas from the industries that you're looking at and the technologies that you're looking at, kind of across the broader ecosystem of what you're doing. If there are new options, new ways of working, new systems out there that you might be able to incorporate in and work with users on adopting, then I think that there's some real potential there to take industry ideas, distill them down into a kind of a common framework, merge that with your user feedback, what people are thinking about internally, what projects you need to work with people on in a large organization maybe. And you put all that together, and I think you've got a chance of actually building things that are going to be very usable and sustainable in the long term. And the other thing that I would say is that I think there are different ways of approaching change and different ways of approaching new systems with new workflows for users. I've personally had a lot of success using agile methodologies to help build systems that better align with a user's needs. Agile is just a project management philosophy. And it's popular these days on a software development space. It's popular for a lot of technology things. It basically is a process of iterating over a solution and kind of delivering one piece of a solution at a time and working with users to get feedback about each piece, kind of making sure you're on the right track the whole time. And so while that's popular in technology and software, I think there's also a lot of potential for that in the media management space when you look at putting together solutions for media and entertainment. Just in a broader level, I think it applies a lot of places that generally people are getting through the day one way. And if you look at a wholesale change in everything that people do, sometimes that's very challenging. But if you look at a very iterative approach where you look at changing a piece at a time, getting feedback after each piece, kind of understanding regularly what changes affect in a broader ecosystem and what changes affect a user's day-to-day job, then I think you can start to learn and see how over a long period of time in a bigger project, you can really get things on track and in a way that really makes sense for people.
David, what advice would you like to share with people working on improving user adoption?
Personally, I would say don't be afraid to start over. You don't necessarily have to try to force what you're doing on people, force a new technology, a new way of working, a new system on people. And if it's not aligning with user perspective, or if it's not something that's helping people get through their day, if there's real resistance to change, then sometimes I think the right thing to do is to look at what you're doing and really make sure it makes sense. That doesn't necessarily mean you need to trash your whole system when you start over. It doesn't necessarily mean you need to trash the entire way of working that you've built. But I think a fresh approach, kind of taking a fresh look at the problems you're trying to solve, a fresh look at what you're trying to do and how it affects people day to day, kind of what the use case is that you really feel like you're building for people. I think it doesn't hurt to take a fresh approach, to really start over with how you look at it and try to drive a new message home with the users and make sure that people really understand what you're trying to do and how you're trying to help. And that sort of goes along with the other big thing I'd say, which is get to know your users. I don't know that depending on your situation, you can't necessarily be friends with everybody or know everybody, but getting to know what people do, understanding the pain points of their day-to-day jobs, understanding the pain points of a process as a whole, and also understanding what's working well, understanding what people like and dislike about what they're doing. I think understanding, getting to know users and their day-to-day jobs really can help drive adoption, help drive people being interested in trying something new and solving problems in a way that's really going to help people understand a new way of working that's going to be better for them and potentially save them some time and effort. So if you can really figure out what people need to improve their jobs, which isn't always necessarily exactly what the biggest pain points are, you know, there's that idea of synthesis and kind of distilling down lots of different ideas into something that is common and something that can be managed across a long period of time. But if you can understand what people need and start to distill out those important key topics and start to build around that, then I think there's a lot of chance for success there long term.
David, where can we learn more about user adoption and your work on the subject?
Sure. There's some great resources out there that are sort of tangentially related. User adoption and sort of driving new user products is a big topic in the business space. So there are some things like the Harvard Business Review that has some really interesting case studies on employees internally adopting new technology or kind of transitions and broader topics and case studies around new systems and software coming online. Some of those I think could be really interesting. One of the other big things I'd recommend is looking into agile methodology. If something might work, depending on the space you're in, depending what kinds of projects you're working on, agile methodology is that kind of iterative process for software development. There are some good resources online to learn about it, and depending what types of things you're working on might serve very well in a particular space. And a couple years ago, I gave a talk focused on the media management space, but kind of all about how we need to think about managing media and managing a supply chain of content as a broader topic rather than something that is just very specific. It's rather than looking at a specific problem to solve, I think we need to look at that topic broadly as a process to manage. So that's online with Fiat IFTA from 2015, the Federation of International Television Archiving. And kind of the last big thing I'll say is that I think that in many ways, it depends on the space, but I think in many ways, artificial intelligence and machine learning, kind of these new technology topics, can be really interesting in the context of building systems that actually solve problems for users and something that people get very excited about. I think these are kind of some of the front and forward concepts in technology today. And depending on what you're building, if you're building something technically focused, if you're building something that's going to help solve problems for people, giving people access to this broader set of new technologies is something that could solve people a lot of time, solve a lot of problems for people. And so the systems that are able to be a gateway for some of these new technologies, that are able to incorporate some of these new things and kind of leverage some of the power that's coming with these new topics like artificial intelligence and machine learning, I think those systems are going to have a chance at being very successful if done well. And so kind of knowing about them and knowing what's coming up in the technology space, if you're working through things that are technology related, knowing about those topics that are potentially very impactful and now and in the near future can, I think, help drive thinking around common concepts and common ideas that could really help drive systems that might make sense for users and solve a lot of problems.
Well, thanks, David.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
For more on this, visit useradoptionpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out useradoptionbook.com. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.